Thank you, Holly. Appreciate that. And all the testimonies this morning, and very meaningful. I love watching folks follow the Lord in baptism. Someone once said, if the cross won't move us to tears, I don't know what will. I hope we'll always be grateful and thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ saving us, because we are all sinners saved by His grace. He's willing to forgive us, and that's what we've been talking about here in the book of Philemon, the spirit of forgiveness. And this morning we're looking at the title of Remembering to Forget. So often it's hard to forget when someone has done something to us. I mean, whether it's emotionally or physically, or maybe they even, we feel spiritually hurt us in some way, God is still going to come along and tell us to forgive. I've talked with many, and I've been there myself often when I've said, but they hurt me. I didn't like that. And there's that part of the flesh that wants to be vindictive and want to get them back and want to say, hey, I'm never going to forget what you did. It's interesting, the dictionary has defined forgiveness as this: to renounce anger or resentment against someone. But I liked this particular definition. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you, even though you've been hurting me. Isn't it difficult? Out of love, you're going to simply choose not ever to act in revenge for a sin that's been done against you. You think of a wife whose feelings were hurt by her husband, or vice versa, and she decides to forget. It means that she's put that offense totally out of her mind, even though the memory many times doesn't ever go away. I think one reason it's difficult for us to forgive is that we like to remember and hold on to what they did to me. You can be driving down the road and you all of a sudden it pops in your mind, and man, you don't let it go away. You concentrate and focus on, this is what they did. What we need to remind ourselves, though, is how important in our Christian life forgiveness is. It revolves around our faith. God was willing to forgive us, and He's asked us to be willing to forgive one another. When we are the ones that need to forgive, forgiveness becomes more difficult. To believe that God forgave me and He pardoned me with millions of other people, it seems easier than me granting forgiveness to someone who has wronged me deeply. Colossians 3:13, we read this. Paul said, "And forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Forgiveness is intensely personal. It indicates the way, and it's going to show the way I relate to God and how I interact with others. I think we can begin a little bit with understanding what forgiveness doesn't look like. It does not look like a cover-up. Forgiveness is not a cover-up of, I try to pretend that whatever happened to me is no big deal. Like, I don't know why they didn't invite me to the wedding. I thought we were good friends. But hey, if they didn't, I don't like to go to weddings anyway. I'm not too upset about it. And then I hear they want to make contact with me. Maybe they want to even apologize. Maybe they even want to talk to me. And I'm like, no big deal, man. I didn't give that a second thought. I try to cover it up. Forgiveness is not teeth-gritting determination to keep giving no matter what. Sheer willpower to overlook or minimize an offense will never achieve forgiveness. Usually, that type of approach produces bitterness in a person, and especially when the other person fails to respond like I thought they should respond. So it's not, I'm going to get through this, and it's also not a passive resolve to wait the problem out, hoping that time will heal all wounds, or maybe they'll move away and I'll never see them again. Forgiveness is not excusing people who offend our personal preferences or who annoy us by their selfish choices. They may test our tolerance levels, but not our willingness to forgive. Tolerance makes allowances. Forgiveness releases a legitimate debt. Forgiveness is not going to say, I will get even. Forgiveness is going to release it. About like the country preacher who had planned an auxiliary meeting of the ladies in the church, and they were going to have it under the beautiful oak tree out in, there in the churchyard, and everything was all planned, and invitations were sent out, and all of a sudden he remembered, we did not invite Miss Hissyfit. And so he got on the phone, and he said, the morning of the activity, he said, Miss Hissyfit, I apologize, it's my fault you got left off that invitation list. I beg of you, I would love for you to come back and be part of our fellowship here this afternoon. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful time, and we would love to have your presence. Please forgive us. Forgive me. Mrs. Hissyfit said, begging's not going to help you now, preacher. I've already done prayed for rain today. When Christ tells us to forgive, he's speaking to those who are most vulnerable, those who have been violated. He knows that he speaks to people whose trust has been betrayed or those who have faced some sort of humiliation. His words are intended for those whose character has been unjustly damaged, for the one whose life has been totally marred by sin, the sin of others. And that's the difficulty of forgiveness. I've been hurt. The offended person is affected by maybe someone else's moral failure. And quite plainly, you would say, that's just not fair. Yet in the midst of pain and disappointment, Christ Jesus tells us, forgive. God's not minimizing the violation that can maim a life. He's not questioning the trustworthiness of the offense that happened to me and the harm that it did. But at that point of the trampled innocence, we are still told to forgive. And yet we live in a society that knows very little about forgiveness. Last week we mentioned, some of you can remember chapter and verse on every hurt that you've ever experienced. And what happens is if you don't release that and let it go, you're going to grow to be an old, cranky, bitter, vindictive person. Our whole world is jaundiced with bitterness and resentment. We've become increasingly negative, critical of people, easily offended. And many times, those type of people are very friendless. We live in a society that's all about getting revenge. Relationships are destroyed by the absence of forgiveness. You might even say our culture pushes us to be more unforgiving. Our world in which we live celebrates and exalts people who are not willing to forgive. We make heroes out of the Rambos of the world who are going to show that they're going to get even. Nobody's going to walk over them. And thus we have a society filled with bitterness, with anger, with vengeance, with hate, with hostility toward one another, and unfortunately, it can make its way into the church. Think of all the lawsuits today against people for anything imaginable. Susan Forward has written a book, and listen to this title, Toxic Parents. The thesis of the book is really the popular attitude of our day, a negative attitude toward forgiveness. There's one chapter in the book she's entitled, You Don't Have to Forgive. Can you imagine that? In other words, some parents who are trying to get their kids to and their children to do what is right and biblical, even in this area of forgiveness, are referred to as toxic. We're in the second week of our study of a very small book, just 25 verses, the book of Philemon. Our theme has been the spirit of forgiveness. And remember, God is a God of forgiveness. I love this quote that I read, of all the human qualities that make man in any sense like God, none is more divine than forgiveness. Philemon, the man who wrote the book, was a Christian layman in the city of Colossae. He had a church there meeting in his house. He'd been led to Jesus Christ, possibly by Paul himself there in Acts chapter 19 at Ephesus. His wife, Apphia, she was a Christian along with their oldest son, Archippus. And Paul identified him here in Philemon as a fellow soldier. Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus, and one day Onesimus ran away. He was a fugitive. He was a runaway slave. He wanted his freedom, and he ended up running right to the city of Rome to kind of hide with all the other slaves in the city. And not by coincidence, but by the providence of God, he and Paul came in contact with each other. Paul, in prison there in a house, would minister to people when they would come by his house to be able to visit with him, and he would share the word with them. And Paul was able to speak to Onesimus and lead Onesimus to Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Philemon, Paul is sending back Onesimus with a handwritten letter that he has written. And Paul is wanting Onesimus to ask forgiveness for what he's done. I mean, some feel like, according to verse 18 of this book, that Onesimus has even stolen some things from, some items from Paul. And so you need to go back and make those right and ask forgiveness. But also, the challenge is going to be to Philemon, you need to be willing to forgive. It's interesting that the word forgiveness is never mentioned in the book of Philemon. Yep, I liked what one pastor said. He said, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit had this as a fill-in-the-blank epistle. It's a major theme in this little book. And so Paul is wanting Philemon to understand the importance of it. And in chapter 4, in the first four verses here, we see that Paul eventually thanks God. He is very grateful to Philemon. He says, I thank God, making mention of you always in my prayers, there in verse 4. He prayed for Philemon. Again, being grateful, why did he pray for Philemon? We read it in verse 5, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I hear, or literally, I continue to hear about you, Philemon, and your love. And what is it that he was praying for as far as with Philemon? He says, you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ, your love and your faith that you have toward Jesus Christ. Philemon had a great love for the Savior. Number one, and the greatest commandment that Jesus says that is out there is to love the Lord, because he says, I'm hearing of your love and your faith, which you have towards Jesus Christ. In other words, Philemon, you're a true believer of Jesus Christ. You want to honor the Lord in all that you do. And that word, that verb there in verse 5, you have, is in the present tense and meaning that it's continuing to happen. You have this love for the Lord. So in other words, Paul knew that in such a sensitive life, spiritual life of a man like Philemon, that there would be a forgiving spirit in him. Again, if you look at the Old Testament, you see how David was willing to forgive King Saul. Shimei was there in Samuel. He was cursing David. David's men said, let's just get rid of him. Let us kill him right now. And David, no, he said, forgive. I want to not do that to the man. He was willing to forgive. You show me a man with real character, and I'll show you a man who can forgive. The well-known pastor-teacher R.C. Sproul tells a story about a moment in his life that he still remains deeply ashamed of. He said the office meeting that he was involved in was getting pretty intense. Arguments were starting to get a little heated, and he found himself getting a little overheated. And he was opposing the perspective of the president of the organization, who also happened to be the chairman of the board. The chairman of the board made a suggestion of some sort, and R.C. Sproul says, and I replied to the shock of everyone there, I replied to the chairman, are you out of your mind? To his credit, this chairman remained very calm, and he replied, I think I'm quite sane. Man, I knew, he said, I had done so badly as soon as the words left my mouth. When the meeting was over, I went up to him and I apologized, and he was willing to forgive me right away. And I wasn't surprised by that, since he had been forgiving me as long as I could ever remember, because the chairman of the board was my father. 10 years later, the two of us were having a conversation, and it was a peaceful conversation, he said. But he said, wishing to illustrate my point, I asked him, I said, Father, do you remember that time of that meeting when I said really a shameful thing about you? I said, are you out of your mind? Do you remember that, Dad? And he said, no, son, I have no memory of that. And R.C. Sproul said, I was so convicted again by my dad's character that he's willing to forgive, and he remembered it no more. Philemon, we're told, had a great love for the saints. That's number two. Philemon's love for people. Jesus said it. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is an agape type of love. It's a love of choice. It's a love of the will. It's a love of sacrifice. This is the love that says, I don't care about myself. Next week, we want to put together what most people would look at with Onesimus, that Onesimus was not innocent. He was guilty of some very wrongdoings. And so how does forgiveness work together with those that have actually done a crime? Where does justice come in? And so we're going to look at that starting in verse 8 through the end of the chapter next week. I loved how Paul comes to verse 8, and he comes to verse 9, and he comes to verse 10, and he appeals. He appeals to the greatest virtue. He appeals to love. Philemon, I appeal to you about a man, Onesimus. You think of so many times people will come to our mind, and I mean it'll send a shockwave up the back of our neck. And we think, oh, that person, I'll never forget him. I'll never forget what they did. I want to close with a story that I found in Reflection of God's Glory by Corrie Ten Boom. Maybe you've met someone like this, and this is exactly how their Christian faith is. I was so moved. She was there ministering in Africa, and they were at a service, and a man came to the meeting, and he came with bandaged hands. She said, I asked him, sir, how have you been injured? And he said, well, my neighbor's straw roof was on fire, and so I helped him to put it out, and that's how my hands were burned. Corrie Ten Boom said later that evening that she heard the rest of the story. The neighbor he had helped had hated him so much that this neighbor had set this man's roof on fire while his children and his wife were asleep in the hut. It was a very dangerous situation, and fortunately, the man was able to put out the fire at his own house in time. But what took place was that sparks from the fire that this man had set now had flown over to this neighbor's house who had set the fire in the first place, and his roof started to burn. There was no hate in the life of this believer, this Christian. There was only love for his enemy. And he did everything he could to put out that fire in his neighbor's house. And that is how his hands were burned. You show me a person who cannot release some vengeful, bitter, antagonistic, hateful attitudes towards someone, and unfortunately, I'll show you a man or a woman who does not understand the forgiveness of God to him. When a man forgives, he radiates that which is true of the image of God, for God is a forgiving God. May that be our testimony, and may that be our life. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being able to fellowship around your word, to witness these baptisms and folks that have come to you. And we give you praise and glory, Father, for the message of salvation. I'm thankful for those that you brought into my life that shared that same message that we were able to hear in the testimonies today of folks that were given that opportunity to hear the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that you are willing to forgive us of our sins and to justify and to declare us righteous in the sight of Jesus. For his blood truly has washed away our sin. John the Baptist had it right. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, thank you for your willingness to send your Son. And dear Jesus, thank you for your willingness to come and to save us. And now we have the power of your Holy Spirit living within us to give us victory so that we'll walk in ways that the world will see there's something different. There's a spirit of love. There's a spirit of forgiveness. May that be our testimony, and may that be our walk. And we give you the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.